Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Looking for some amazing TV to stream? Indulge yourself with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the gang on How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons are now streaming on Hulu. Then you can move to Modern Family, Schitt's Creek, and My Wife and Kids. We are talking every single episode of every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits. Streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. Now we're talking.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
The Nikki
Glaser
Podcast. Ooh, 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 ooh.
Here's Nikki.
Here I am. Welcome to the Nikki Glaser Podcast. It's Wednesday. It's Wednesday. That's what I meant to say it. Like, it's Wednesday. Oh, boy. What a show we have for you today. We have a special guest on. I'm excited to have him in. It was an impromptu booking of just like, I want to hear what this dude has to say about my co-host, Andrew Collin, someone who knows him very closely and personally and has good stories about the way he was. Because like we were talking about on the show yesterday, you only like remember things the way you remember them. And there's always someone else's side of the story. And Andrew is very good about presenting himself as he was in the past, like telling the really like sad parts of his life. And some of it makes me want to cry just of how, oh man, there was a story this weekend about he and his girlfriend getting a cat, which I'm sure he just got this cat to like impress her because, you know, his college relationship with this girl was just him like trying to win her back. Then he would get her back. He would like work out and get in good shape and take care of himself, stop drinking. She would come back to him. Then he would fall apart again and then she would reject him. And then the other day, I guess we talked about this on air the other day, he was like, she never went down on me. And it was like, yeah, because you didn't wash yourself. Like, we figured out that she wasn't just, like, frigid or not giving. It's like, you know, you look back on relationships and you can – when you hear one side of, like, a breakup, it just is so easy to villainize the other person and not have any perspective of – like, no, I've heard about your past boyfriends and I'm like, oh, I hate them. But it's like, if I talk to them, they might have a little a tale to tell, you know? Do you
feel – oh, so many.
Do you feel like – I mean, in the – There are things that I'm like very ashamed of in relationships in the past. And like, I kind of was talking to one of my exes today about, He was kind of talking about, he does a radio show here in St. Louis, and he was talking about, I listen to the radio show every morning, and he was talking about podcasts, like what's the most niche podcast that you would want to start? And they were just talking about different funny ideas. And he said to me just in a text, like, oh, I want to start a podcast where people who've been talked about on podcasts come on to set the story straight and say and it's called The Other Side. And I was like, ugh, I know. And then I went into this whole apology again to him of I was in a bad place. And he was like, oh, I didn't mean this to bring up something. I was just saying that's an idea. And I'm like, no, it's not. First of all, it's not a bad idea to have, it would be interesting to have a podcast where it's two sides of a breakup, where the first episode I guess I've done that before with different shows that show the different ways people have interpreted it. I guess The Affair was like that. Did you ever watch that show?
No, I never watched it.
It was about the two sides of an affair and how someone's, what happened on their side of things. And then of course the Taylor Swift song the songs that I love so much, from Folklore, where she writes about this high school affair. You get all the sides of the story and you can empathize with all of the characters. Because it takes two to tango, but it's what would ex-boyfriends say about you, Noah, in terms of
No, don't make me reveal
no,
it.
No, really? I mean, you don't have to, but
they would say that I was jealous. I was probably unhinged, I think would be a word they would use.
Unhinged is a really, that's the new nag. You know what I mean? There's certain words for women. That's the new cunt. I would rather be called a cunt than unhinged or spiraling. That's a trigger for me.
Oh,
just
spiraling,
any kind of
I think is worse.
If you look up the word, if you do, look up crazy in a thesaurus, any word that follows that would be one that I don't like. But unhinged means she doesn't know how she's coming off. That's my biggest fear.
Yes.
Of people are talking about me behind my back of ugh, no, the elephant in the room is that Nikki is crazy. I don't mind being told to my face I'm unhinged while I'm being unhinged. But when it's later on, I find out people have talked about it and they're yeah, we kind of all noticed you were pretty unhinged. That would be, I don't want to be an old cabinet door. I don't want to be unhinged. What are other adjectives that I just cannot stand? I mean, when Joe Rogan called me a lot, that hurt, but I let it in and I use it now as my intro. Andrew, when he brings me on stage, he says her from the roasts and her comedy specials, and Joe Rogan called her a lot. I just like it because it kind of does prepare people for what they're about to get. I am a lot. And that's okay. But it was interesting to talk to my ex and this morning kind of go over, because we've already talked about it extensively about where, when I would, misrepresent things in podcasts, my side of the story. And it was I was in pain and I didn't know how to deal with it. So I was just blathering on and making myself the victim because I was I didn't respect myself at that time. I was in the depths of abusing myself with food and pot and just overworking. And if you are, we all know this, but if you're treating yourself like shit, you're definitely going to treat other people like shit. It's going to be your first inclination actually is to treat others like crap because and it's hard not to. I was a total bitch this weekend. And I regret it. And I owe, I owe an apology. I mean, I already apologized, but I think I owe another one. And what I would like to say is I did that too. We kind of talked about it. It was with my tour manager and, Anya, my opener, is my tour manager's girlfriend. And my tour manager is this amazing, accomplished musician, Matt Pond. Matt Pond, PA, is his name that he uses as a musician. But he's incredible and so hardworking and just wants everything to go so smoothly. He's always trying to do his best. And we landed at an airport and there was no plan of like how to get to the hotel because there it was a small airport. There's no Ubers. There were no taxis. And there was we were just all kind of like looking at each other. And if it were up to when I travel alone, when I used to, I know that this is a small airport. So I've already looked into what am I going to do to get there? Is there a shuttle? Is someone from the festival picking me up? Like, and we all just were kind of like looking at each other like, wait, I thought you knew. Wait, I thought you knew. And I'm like, if I would have known that we didn't have a plan, I would have done it myself. And then I just hate waiting. I hate getting somewhere and like just sitting around and waiting. I'm really uncomfortable with it. And that's my problem.
You're really efficient with your time. It's something that I really love about you. Like, you know how to like plan your day, like to the T, you know exactly how long something will take, when, at what minute you're going to arrive.
Yeah.
You're so efficient with time. I love that.
I really am. I mean, I haven't been great about it with you because I'll be like 7 minutes and then it'll be more like 9 minutes. But usually I am really good about, I will be there. Yesterday I was running late for a sound healing session and I go, I'll be there. Supposed to be there at 4. I was like 4:09 and I got there exactly at 4:09. Like, I'd rather say that than 4:10. But the thing is, I leave no space to wait, because when I wait, I feel I just get so angry when my time is being used to just do nothing. You know, I can always be on my phone, or I could read an article, I could sit down and read while they figure out the car situation. I didn't need to freak out and be like, I need to know where we're, like, it just was unnecessary. And everyone's trying their best. And, you know, I want to make sure it doesn't happen again. So part of me is like, I need to scare everyone with my mood so that they know that this is not to happen again. But that's not the right way to do it. And I hate when people shut down. And I would rather a confrontation of like, why don't we have a ride? Who said that we were supposed to, and like look someone in the eye? But I'm so bad with confrontation that instead I am talking as I'm looking in my phone and just like muttering under my breath. Then I go and I sit over by myself and I'm like, I'm just going to take care of it. And I go off by myself and leave everyone. It's just like, and then I'm in the car on the shuttle to the hotel and I'm just quiet listening to like my music. And it's just like, you're creating an air of like, I'm pissed and everyone has to sit in this fucking water that you just pissed in. Like, I peed in the hot tub and it's just rude. And I think everyone relates to it. And I know that people are going to be like, Nikki's such a bitch. Why did she do this? I'm telling you, I was a bitch. I'm aware of it. So don't get mad at me. There's no one on earth who hasn't let their anger get the best of them in situations. I'm able to look at it and go, oof, I don't want to do that again. How can I not? And I think it's just a matter of, I don't know. What do I do in that moment? I think it's a matter of realizing no one's trying to make me mad. Like, that's the thing I always beg when I make someone mad or would make my ex-partners like mad. I'd be like, will you just forgive me? Because I promise you it wasn't intentional. Like, I'm not trying to hurt you. So will you just extend that it's like forgiveness, because you know it's an accident. Like, if I was maliciously doing something and trying to connive a way of like, I'm gonna hurt him, which I've done before to people, it's just a disgusting thing. But I have been premeditated in my like bitchiness. But
I want to say that like, you acknowledging this on the show and going through it is not making an excuse for you doing it. I think this is a process, and like you said, that you used to be like, you know, like when you would do this, it was very like premeditated. I think this is like a phase that you have to go through before you learn how to deal with what happens to you emotionally.
Yes. Yeah. You have to walk yourself through it and go, okay, this is what happened. And it's so embarrassing. I mean, none of this is like, and this was 2 days ago. This wasn't years ago, right, where I'm like, oh, I've changed since then. And yeah, I guess I just am reluctant to share things, because in the past when I've shared that I was bitchy, people have been like, Nikki treats all her friends so terribly. And I'm like, I told you
it's
I
not
did.
True.
I'm aware of it. Like,
right.
You don't have to tell me, and you don't have to talk amongst yourselves about it. And I'm trying to be better. I know it's wrong. But I mean, for the most part, I think that I've gotten a lot better at it. And I just have to remember, it's like the golden rule. That's like, would I want someone to do this to me? But then I go, I would never fuck it up this way. I would have done this. And it's like, yeah, you would have, but you're not the person that this person is. So maybe their experience, the way they handle things, wouldn't have thought 1,000 steps ahead. I just think too many steps ahead. And you're right, Noah. Like today I'm having lunch with a friend and I get done. I'm you know, working on writing a book, and I have a meeting with the woman that's helping me do that from 1:30 to 2:30. And I'm meeting my friend for lunch right downstairs from me. And I was like, I'm just going to tell him 2:45 because even that is too much time in between things. I just want to go boom, boom. But I go, what are you doing? Today I actually go, let's do 3 o'clock so that like maybe I have time. But here's the problem. If I make it 3 o'clock, I'll pick up my guitar and I will get lost in a song and I'll be like, one more, and then I'll be late. But if I'm stacking things, I don't have time to get distracted in between. I think it's an ADD thing. I don't know. I'm just very, I also, last night, Andrew and I went out for the first time ever. We socialized.
Wow.
We went to a bar on Cherokee Street, if you're familiar with St. Louis. It was called Whiskey Ring. Kuh. We said the name was Kuh. My friend Taylor is in town. She's from, she was in Tulum with us. And then she's in town for like a wedding. And so we met her and a bunch of her friends down there. And then I was like, Andrew, will you go with me? And then I invited a couple people who are in town who are going to be following me around with cameras. Can't really get into details about that, but I met them. And we're about to start that process. There are people that moved to St. Louis to follow me around with cameras is all I can say right now. And they're living here for 8 weeks. Like, they live in LA and New York, respectively. And they, like, there's, I think, 5 people here just living here. And so I invited them out, too, because we're about to start this thing together on Saturday. And honestly, when I went out and decided to do this thing where I get followed around with cameras, I didn't understand, like, how much time they would be following me around. Let me just say, I just thought, I don't know what the fuck I thought. Honestly, no clue what I thought this was going to be. Found out last night in a like fun bar setting that it was going to be 10 hours a day of being followed by cameras. Let me just say, I almost started crying and I couldn't, I had to like keep it in because what that said to me, and by the way, my only break from being filmed 10 hours a day is going on the road and working and traveling all day and doing shows at night. So for the next 8 weeks, I have 0 days where I'm not working, like literally 0 days. I've set myself up for this. I asked for it. I started kind of panicking because I'm like, I need sleep and I like to stay up. I like to, 10 hours a day, that's a fine work day of being followed around, but I'm doing activities all day. I mean, this isn't just watching me play guitar and like talk to Andrew in my kitchen. This is, and make my bed maybe. Like, this is going out and doing things, which, you know, you guys know I don't like things. And I kind of freaked out, Noah. Like, I just got really quiet and started thinking like, oh my God, like I thought it was maybe a couple hours a day, but why would a crew move out here for a couple hours a day? That doesn't make sense. Like, this is going to be a lot of work. But then I was like, okay, it's 8 weeks. That's fine. And I'm honestly doing this because I want to be totally okay exposing like every part of myself. And it's not because I'm like, I think I'm so interesting. I need the world to see. And this needs to be documented. Maybe it's a little that, but it's mostly like, I think this is for me to put myself out there as much as possible so that my biggest fear is people seeing me for who I really am and not them not liking it. Like, you know, intimacy. So getting close to someone, having them see all your flaws and then being like, actually, you're not what I thought you were. You suck. And so I'm doing my biggest fear of like, I'm not gonna be able to hide who I am at all in this. I'm not buying a new wardrobe for it. I'm not cleaning my house. I'm not doing anything different. I'm just like being myself, wearing my hair the same way, not getting hair and makeup done for this, gonna be on camera, normal. And it really is, I realized last night, a experiment for myself to accept myself for what I am and not try to present anything else to the public or wherever this ends up. I can't tell you where yet. You know, like it's not, it's for me to go, here I am. And if you don't like it, that's okay. I'm going to live. It's like Dancing with the Stars. Like I thought dancing live on TV and getting eliminated first, if you would have presented that scenario to me before I went on that show, I would have said, that is the worst thing that could ever happen. I'll never recover. Well, guess what? It was fine. And that taught me things that you fear. If you set yourself up to do things that you're scared of, on the other side of it, you just, you have this immense freedom of like, oh, I could do anything. You know, like, do you ever, what's like a thing you've done, Noah, that you were really scared to do that you did, even though you didn't want to, but like you did it only because you know that feeling on the other side of it. And did you know you were going to have that feeling? Because I didn't know once you lean into something you're so scared of and get through it, it opens you up to a world of possibilities, not just that thing again, but like anything.
Yes. I guess I would say like camping or any kind of like mountaineering or thing really outside my element.
Like ice mountaineering? Like didn't ice you go climbing. Ice?
Yeah. I went ice climbing. Just like doing, something that I would never even imagine myself doing.
God. I mean, I get nervous when I try to fix my ice maker and lift the little bar up so it starts making it again. And like, I'm going to like that kind of stuff. Yeah. You've competed with
jiu-jitsu.
You've done horseback riding. You bought manuals on how to fix your house. Like you go into things that you're not naturally like no one would go. Oh, yeah, that's what girls. That's what a 5'2". Are you 5'2"?
5'3".
5'3", like girly girl would do. And then you realize like, I mean, I have a joke about it in my act and I don't want to ruin it. But like after I licked a man's asshole one time, I was like, that's the most disgusting. I never, ever would have dreamed of doing that. I would maybe a nightmared about doing it, but I would never want to do that. It wasn't like I was like, I want to and I'm scared. Like even Dancing with the Stars, I wasn't like, I want to. I was like, I actively never want to. That's not, don't ever offer me that. And the same with licking ass, like at one time. And I hate to be disgusting, but on the other side of licking a man's asshole, I was like, I can do anything. I could be president. So let's get Andrew. Andrew!
Are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett-Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek. And then see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking. Well, the weather is getting a lot warmer, and so your wardrobe probably needs an update. I know mine does, and it's so hard when you want to buy new stuff because you want it to last a long time, you want it to look really good, and you want it to, like, stand the test of time in terms of, like, fashion. At least that's what I want. And so that's why I love Quince, because Quince is all about effortless fashion that looks chic and timeless year-round. I'm talking premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. Washable silk top. They have so many chic jewelry pieces, like these globe boho hoops. I love those. You could just blindly click and end up with such wardrobe essentials. They're not wasting your time at Quince. I love the Quince dress I got. I'm trying to find it because I want to say the exact name of it, but it's like this long sleeve dress, but it's like a midi skirt. It's so cute. It's like silky feeling. It's just, I've told you about it before. Okay, there's so much cute stuff on here. I got to go and get back to the podcast, but you know what to do. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Nikki for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Q-U-I-N-C-E, quince.com/Nikki to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Nikki.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Hey, Andrew.
Yo.
Yo. I was just telling Noah that we went out last night and socialized.
Whoa, man. Dude, it got wild, dude.
We never socialized.
It was.
I'm so glad you went, because at first you were like, I don't want to go.
Well, I just woke up from a nap-ski. I was a little tired-ski. Yeah. Did you say the name of the place?
Yeah. Whiskey Ring.
Whiskey Ring, where you don't know what's going to happen, but you kind of do.
It's just like a bunch of people drinking outside. But it was a cool, vibe. I liked it.
By the way, St. Louis hipsters are so much cooler than Brooklyn hipsters.
They're actual hipsters.
Yeah, because they're like, their parents aren't rich. They're paying probably $200 in rent to live on top of a rat. Like... You know what I mean? Like, they probably travel by rat.
They really are.
They're like hipsters. And I was like looking around. I was like, I kind of respect these hipsters, because they're not. They're not.
They're just the way that they're just different.
It reminds me of how my stepbrother is like Florida. Like, he has 80 tattoos, but none of them are ironic. It's like my dead cousin, my wave. A snake. Like, but they're not like, they're cool, but like, he just.
There's no sense of irony.
No.
Your cousin probably doesn't even know what.
He doesn't even know why the snake would be
funny to anyone else.
It's just a cool snake.
Yeah. I mean, he's Jake the Snake, right?
Yeah.
Why is he that?
Because he got a snake on his arm.
Okay. Well, that's hilarious that the snake tattoo preceded the nickname. Did you want to be Andrew the Jaguar?
It doesn't rhyme, though. What could rhyme? What are you, Nikki?
Age-inappropriate tattoo?
Yeah, Nikki the... maybe we'll get her eyelashes tattooed one day.
I mean, I would like to get a tattoo one day just to... Because it's just like this preciousness about not doing it is almost kuh.
Yes.
Like, you know, like being like, I don't have tattoos is kuh, too.
Saying you don't have, I was watching this TikTok video that really made me laugh. People that don't drink coffee, they're like, I don't drink coffee. Like, this girl was making fun of people that say they don't drink coffee.
Oh, yes.
And she just kept
going. I mean, they are better than the rest of us, I think. They're just like pure human. Because we're all fucking doped up on this thing that we all think is like makes us normal, but it makes us insane. That's why we all have anxiety disorders, because we're just imbibing caffeine all the time. Like, this mainlining, it's a drug.
Yeah.
That's so, but.
If you never think it's a drug, just go to the airport and see the line at Starbucks and see the line for Chick-fil-A. I don't know what they put in Chick-fil-A, probably coffee and chicken.
Fat and sugar and oil. You know, and like, it was salt.
One time I was at the airport and the line for Chick-fil-A was like a mile. And then you know how McDonald's copied their chicken sandwich?
I didn't know that.
Pretty much verbatim, they tried to. It was called the Southern Chicken Sandwich. And the lady working at McDonald's goes, "We got the same sandwich. We got the same The lady, she just kept going, "We got the same sandwich."
I mean, when I have to go Dunkin's instead of Starbucks or like a Pete's coffee or a Caribou coffee, I just am like a little bit, you know, it's just there's something. They figured out something that makes it addictive. It's not about like it actually tastes better. I just don't subscribe to that. And you know how I feel about coffee. It doesn't taste good.
Yes.
Children would drink it if coffee tasted good. When children accidentally drink a coffee, an iced coffee, thinking it's a Coke, they spit it out in disgust. Unless it's super sugary, which is why people add sugar to make it taste better.
Have you ever said your order on here?
I mean, probably
not. Let's go through
not.
Your order because it's a fun one.
I spend $20 a day on coffee.
It's your only vice.
I am not proud of that. I don't think it's cool. It's actually kind of to even say that I do that. Like it's embarrassing. No, there's nothing. It's not because I don't think I'm cool. But it is. That's why I don't like having people buy me coffee because it's too embarrassing to tell them what I want.
Yeah.
I often just send a screenshot of the order from the mobile app because writing it out looks like I'm sending a text message, an apology to someone. You know, it's just a tower of text. This is how I order. Hi, can I get a and it's in this voice because I'm already really
like
sorry that I'm ordering
it. When you get a salad
it.
From Subway, it's the same voice.
It's the same voice. I'm about to be a twat. So, like, I just want you to know that, like, I'm going to tip you enormously on the back end of this. So, can I get a venti extra hot almond milk latte with 2 pumps of sugar-free? And then they type it in, and they go, is that all? And I go, with 2 pumps of sugar-free vanilla. All right, is that all? Can I get anything else? And 2 stevia. We have a sugar bar. I'm like, oh, you implemented that again. Okay, great. Oh, I'll put it in myself. Okay, thank you so much. And then they say, then... It's just, and then I say sorry.
Yes.
Bunch.
I wonder if they like, if it's, they get absurd orders all day long.
I mean, I follow the subreddit and I know exactly what they get and like how ridiculous it gets. This is not terrible in terms of a drink to make as a barista. This isn't the worst of the worst.
I'm saying it could be fun for them to get an absurd drink. You know, like I get a fucking small coffee with oat milk and 2 stevia, they're like, oh, boring. Maybe it's fun for them to put in 9 pumps and 4 and get it right. And like, I don't
we
know,
have
like,
to ask. Yeah,
yeah, or they hate it, or they hate
I know
everything.
That, but I just know that their favorite drink when you order it, besides I think maybe just a regular drip coffee with nothing, is an iced chai latte.
Why is that the easiest?
It's just ice, and then you pour in 2 things, as opposed to like steaming and then mixing and shaking and blending and all these other things. Like ice chais are, in terms of the manpower that goes into it, the most marked up thing.
It is so interesting. I think like you're talking how coffee's a drug, weed is a drug, but if you make it commercialized and like a fun sign, like you could sell anything. It's like big pharma, whatever, selling oxycodone, but it's in a pharmacy. Like, it's just interesting. Like, if you package something right, you could lie to everyone and be like, oh, wow, that
is. Well, I mean, I see you eating things all the time that are like have a green package, so you think they're healthy. Like, I know your brain
goes. Well, I eat the cardboard around it.
Like, you'll buy those juices a lot of times.
Not a lot. And thinking, I haven't been Mr. Juice, but I used to be Mr. Juice.
I see people drinking juices and smoothies, and it's just this illusion of health because it's fruits and vegetables, right?
Yes,
like,
yes.
How could that be bad? And it's, if you look at those the sugar content, it's 3 Snickers. I mean, it's insane. And,
but I'm getting my broccoli.
But it has a vegetable on the cover of it, on the package. I mean, everything is marketing. I mean, that's what we talked about with The Edge. The comedian is like, that's all marketing. That's using people's stupidity and the way our brains work. People, especially ad geniuses and people who... you know, sell this stuff, go in and go, you know, we've done studies and the Facebook, the color of the font on Facebook, the shape of the C and how they, you know, every little thing, Starbucks, like the color, the music they play, the wood they use.
The hot girl with the green face.
The way they call their employees partners. And like, it's all done so that you buy more. It's not done because they're like good people or because this is good for you. Like,
hey, it's just a small town coffee shop that was started in Seattle. in a little marketplace.
Yeah, we saw it this weekend.
Yeah, we didn't go into it.
Everything is I mean, I'm fascinated by it. I really want to get in more into, you know, the psychology of things and why we do things. I mean, we got into an interesting discussion last night about polyamory and monogamy that, you know, we should follow up on. I started like reading up on polyamory because I'm just like, yeah, I think that's what we're meant to do. And I think that monogamy, like, I don't know. I just came upon the idea of, I heard this once, but people are like, no, you can't be in two relationships and love two people equally. That's not possible. Like if you have one boyfriend, you can't have another boyfriend. You're not gonna love one as much as the other. One's always gonna get more love. Okay, that's what everyone says. I would never let my boyfriend have another girlfriend because then he's gonna love her more than me, or he's gonna love me more than her, and I'm not gonna get all of him. What about when you have kids? If you have one kid and then you decide to have a second kid, does anyone go, I don't think you should have that second kid because you're gonna have to split your love.
Yeah, you didn't even fuck the first one. No, I'm just fucking.
No one says that about when someone has five kids. They don't go, well,
how many partners is too many?
Many you want. Like, I just feel like if you told me, I said this last night to you, and I'm not saying that I want this because I think that the thing is it's all about sex. When you bring sex into something, it changes it. That is the difference between friendships, having children, and pets, multiple pets. When you have multiple sex partners and having that like love intimacy, people just cannot handle sharing that. But we share everything else. If you said to me, Nikki, I don't know, your friendship with Anya, like we're best friends, and you say Anya's your best friend too, like I think you need, either me or her, because I need your like best friendship. I would be like, fuck you, Andrew. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm not allowed to have more than one friend. That's insane. Yet for some reason, we all go, oh, you can't possibly have two boyfriends. And it's like, wait, why? If everyone gets tested and we take that, the risk.
Well, I think if it's an open communication, you're honest about the situation. I just think like if you're dating one and the other one doesn't know.
No, I'm talking about honest.
Yeah, if it's honest, then I think it's fine. I honestly don't have arguments with it.
No, that's not the point. My point is, yeah, there are people that are fine with it and honest. There's poly communities.
Yep.
But I'm saying, no, they're so few. If you want to be polyamorous, it lowers your like dating pool down to nothing.
Yeah.
Like, there are so few people, and it's all based on ownership.
It's also interesting. It's like, once you classify yourself as dating someone, then it's exclusive. But anytime before that, you could date multiple people, sleep with many people, like many people.
Not openly, not because you can't, you know, when you...
Well, you don't ask, you don't tell.
But then, you know, if you want to date someone else while you're dating this girl, you're worried that she might see you with them, like...
I'm agreeing with you though. I'm saying the point is like we go from like you could date multiple people and you can go on different dates and you need to date more. You need to like a lot of people.
Then
you go from there to one person.
Yeah, you're right.
And it's like a big jump and there's nothing really kind of in the middle of like let's kind of date and kind of love each other and multiple people.
I just had an awakening yesterday where I was just like, wait, why do we only get one? I'm really like...
Well, how about this? Write into the show if you're a married couple and you're happy and explain why it's great to be married. And then if you're polyamorous, let's hear from you and say why it's great and maybe hear from actually people that are going through
it. I don't want to prompt that yet because we haven't gotten into why that's the prompt. You just jumped a big thing.
Yeah. I went big. I went ham.
We got to get to the news, but I just want to bring that up. And if anyone out there, I will say, if anyone out there is in the poly community and wants to forward me any like research, like scientific research about why it works, why it doesn't work, why monogamy even exists, and any books, I would really like to hear about it and read about it. But don't come on to me and ask me to like fuck you or anything like that. I don't want that.
Yeah.
I don't want someone to be like, I would love you to be one of my girlfriends. That's not what I'm looking for. I want research on it. Let's get to the news.
You heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
Oh boy, it's Wednesday, and you know what that means. Our video is coming out on YouTube.
Yeah.
I don't know what our name of our channel is going to be, but do we know?
Do we know, Noah?
The Nikki Glaser podcast. But there's a link on it on our Instagram page.
Yes.
And when time is it coming out?
I mean, it'll be out by the time this episode is
out. So Yeah, the episodes are going to be like a few days behind, like the video
so
release.
So Monday's episode is out today on Wednesday.
Right, so, and at about 2 p.m.
Oh, beautiful.
Eastern time.
Yeah, so by the time this podcast is coming out, awesome. it's well on online.
And have all the swells.
Oh, right, never forget. Well, that's not. Never forget to say that.
Analyzing over.
What?
Analyzing? That's a fun word.
Wait, just say
I know it. Analyzing.
Okay, yeah.
Over 300,000 songs from Spotify playlists, the world's most popular funeral songs for 2021 are revealed.
Oh, I hope you had this. Is that on there? Good Riddance?
Cigarette Daydreams. You would know it if you just play it in your ear. You would know it once you start playing
okay.
it. Cause it's one of those songs, but I can't believe it's number one. See You Again. Oh.
I don't know that song.
Really?
Nope.
All right, well.
Keep that elephant in that cage.
Yeah, he's getting in there. See You Again by Charlie Puth.
What is that song?
I want to see you. It's like the sad song he wrote on his keyboard.
Thanks for letting us know how he wrote it. Wait, I don't know that song either.
I bet you know that one.
Charlie Puth?
Play it. Let's see. This is so funny. You go to someone's funeral and you're just mad you don't know the song.
Okay.
Like, really? He died and he picked that song?
It's not
song?
Even coming up like for like the See You Again. It's not even, there's a Miley Cyrus See You Again. Puth. I mean, it's literally not coming up.
Well, wait. It's a Wiz Khalifa song.
Oh, yeah. In the long
time.
Out to my friend. And I'll tell you. Yeah,
that one.
Oh, Taylor Swift sings a great version of that in a live with
maybe
Wiz Khalifa.
Your funeral.
And she's like, oh, it's so good. You guys got to check her out singing that live with Wiz Khalifa.
Mr. Yeah. Loverman, which I played.
What?
Ricky Montgomery.
Mr. Loverman.
Just a sad singer-songwriter guy. That
what do you want at your funeral? What songs are we talking?
I don't know. This made me think differently because, you know, you got Supermarket Flowers. You got Take Me Home, Country Road. Or Take Me... Yeah. Creep, I'll See You Again, like
Creep?
All these sad ones, and then you
so went. I creep. Oh no, Radiohead. I was gonna say, what the hell? I'm a creep, and I would want to do the choral version that was in the.
I don't want no scrubs.
I mean,
like that's just
will you
such
please
a
put Scrubs on my funeral playlist?
That's what I'm saying.
You have to.
There's some
just one at like when there's the slideshow playing of all of my memories.
Number 12 is Super Bass, by Nicki Minaj, which made me think completely different about my funeral. Super Bass.
Oh, no, bah, bah, I know. Bah, 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 bah. This one was for the boys with the Google Assistant, that little girl singing on Ellen. Ding, 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 got that super bass. Why is that a funeral song?
Well,
are
why
you
are
kidding
we picking
me?
Sad songs? Why don't we fucking do some fun shit? I mean... New Orleans funerals are the best.
There is, you know, I guess maybe it's in a minor key. I don't know anything about music, but there is something about the background noise of the super bass song that starts out. It's like,
yes.
Like there's a little bit of like a sadness to it. And I know minor keys are the ones that make things sadder.
Yeah, there is a little bit of like a. Like
what are you going? What do you want to play at your funeral?
Well, that
kind of
changed how I would view it. I think. It would be very funny to play "Dead Wrong" by Biggie Smalls and Eminem. Because it's so inappropriate.
Oh, I don't know.
Just to
that.
See, like, some people going, is this someone played a wrong song? Like, I just want
right.
I just want one person to go, and maybe then in the middle of it, it switches over to some John Prine song and then back to Dead Wrong. And they'd be like, ah, Andrew got us even in death.
My dad should do your Puddles theme song.
Oh, at my funeral.
I'll sing it with him.
Wait, you think your dad's outliving me here?
I mean, based on your eating habits, no.
Super bass.
No, my dad is probably going to last a pretty long time. Although he is tall, and tall people don't live that long.
Yeah, why is that? Because they have to hold their hearts?
Maybe like it's a lot to support. It's a, you know, it's a...
How tall is he, though? He's like 6'2".
He's 6'2".
Yeah. That's not so tall, though, where it's like, you know, 6'10", they like die from... just falling over from, just being so high up there.
Just steel beams melting it, jet fuel melting them. I don't know what I'm talking about.
What, paper airplanes hitting them and then they melted
them? Yeah.
Okay, so next story.
That's a good one. Do you believe that airplanes in the night sky are like shooting stars? I could really use a wish right now. Wish right now.
What happened to that guy, Bob? B.O.B.
B.O.B. I don't know.
Bob.
Haley, whatever her name is, from Paramore. She's got a great voice.
Oh, she's so good.
Yeah, I like her a lot. She does a great version of Use Somebody, Kings of Leon.
She does.
Oh.
You know who does a great... Chris Cornell does The Guy That Died.
Yeah.
What the fuck song did he do? God, it's such a good rendition. It's acoustic and it's in Sirius. I forget the name of it. But
he did it on Howard, probably.
I think so. And yeah. It's so fun. He, like, I you love don't realize versions. These rock and roll guys that, like, sing, like they could obviously hit these notes. Yeah. When they're just acoustic, you're like, oh, they're like the best singers on earth.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you just think rock and roll is just screaming. I mean, not like Slipknot, who got taken down by MGK.
Oh, yeah. That was. What did he say again?
Oh, I saw that.
Did you see that, Noah?
Yes, I did.
What did you think?
What did he say? Well, there was, for our listeners and me?
They were both performing at Riot Fest. And
You sent me this. That's why.
Sorry, go on.
And they were both playing at the same time. And MGK goes something like, oh, he said better that you're here than... Yeah.
He said to the people like at his show, yeah, like to the crowd.
Better than you're here than some old guys in like weird masks. 50-year-old
men in weird masks. Yeah. And because Slipknot said, you know, we don't change or, you know, essentially they were calling out MGK for being a failed rapper and that's why he went into, you know, Blink 182 rap.
It got a little deeper than that because when I found out more details, apparently. Corey Taylor was supposed to do some tracks on Machine Gun Kelly's song, and Machine Gun Kelly had a lot of notes for him Travis Barker like forwarded an email, and after Corey Taylor started, he's like, you know what, I think this is like not like I don't think I'm the right fit for
it. Is he the lead singer of Slipknot?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
What did he tell him to take off the mask and act your age and put on a polo? Put on a polo shirt and come in.
I did see a really funny meme on Reddit last night that said, Metallica fan, and it was like some guy dressed like heavy metal, and it was like Metallica lead singer, and it was a guy holding a Versace shopping bag in a polo with like white shorts and like a cut, like perfectly cut hair with his kids.
I love that, though.
I love that too.
But someone made a tweet though of MGK being like, fuck you, you old fucks, like we're young, and then it just circles on the bottom right 31. like he's 31, which isn't old,
and he will be old. I'll like to see what he does with being old someday, because he talks a big game, you know. He better act his age at some point too. But I love his use of weird. We talked about it yesterday when I was talking about the vegan shirts. I said, is getting a shirt that says eating animals is weird, like, is that gonna be triggering enough to people who eat animals to be like, no, I'm not weird? But when MGK says weird, because we heard it first in his diss track for Eminem where he goes, hey, give him some clippers, his fucking beard is weird. And like calling Eminem's beard weird is so funny.
Because it's the perfect way to describe it. Because if he said it's like disgusting or like whatever, sporadic or whatever, weird is just
sporadic. Did you just watch Clueless this weekend and learn a new word?
Guys, I'm still big.
He literally just watched Clueless with me, and there's a scene where
I don't remember they say sporadic.
Yes, she's teaching Ty how to be a better, more articulate, and she's like, you know, Ty, like we'll do it sporadically, and she was like, what is that word, Cher? Like, I don't even know what that word is. And she was like, sporadic. It means once in a while. Try and use it in a sentence today. And then later on, Josh is like, all right, see you around, Ty. And she goes, yeah, I hope not sporadically.
Well, Eminem's beard is sporadic.
Sporadic? No, it's not.
It is, because he doesn't have... It's not thick. It's thick, but it looks like it's...
It's like once in a while. Plugs. His beard is once in a while.
He has like hair plugs.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Let's take a break and come back with Why Do I Care and your special guest.
Are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother.
All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek. And then see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant... Just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Okay, why do I care?
Why do I care?
Oh, man. I don't know if you're going to care about this one, to be honest. I really don't. It's on the fence for me.
Okay.
Nicole Richie's hair catches on fire while blowing out candles at her 40th birthday party. It's on TikTok. She's blowing out her candles. Her hair. When people,
I like that she's 40.
When people get caught on fire.
I like people aging.
They go. And then it like gets bigger. And then they're like, oh, like watch this.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. It really catches.
And her husband wrote the first comment, "That's hot," which is pretty funny.
That's hilarious. Did it? So was her hair long in that, or did she have extensions in, Noah?
No, it's just her natural hair, shoulder length.
Dear God, that is my worst nightmare. I do care about this. I hate when my hair burns. Like there's.
Have you ever caught on fire?
I think my hair is going like, you know, it goes like,
yeah.
Like when it burns, and a hair burns, it goes.
And
like,
that smell.
Oh, that smell.
I was like, oh, that's what dead fucking.
I know. My dad used to come down to his dressing room when I was in high school. Me and Taylor, who you were with last night, yeah. We used to iron our
Taylor's
hair.
Taylor's so funny.
Right?
She's Aren't so
my
creative.
High school friends yeah, she's insanely
very,
funny?
She's very cool. I like her a lot.
Do you see where I got it and like didn't. I'm not even as funny as them. It's like insane.
She's very
Kirsten and
she's her own thing, and she's singular. It's pretty amazing.
She's amazing, and but without we used to trying, iron our
yeah,
hair,
yeah,
and like with an actual iron to get that Jennifer Aniston real straight hair, and we had the straightest fucking hair going because irons. We didn't have chi irons, like hair irons back in high school, early 2000s. We had like shitty ones that would not get hot enough and our hair would still be frizzy until we discovered the actual iron. So we would go downstairs in my dad's, like, you know, my closet, like their little closet room,
yeah,
and put our hair on it and go and like iron it. And my dad would come downstairs and go, God, it smells like... God, it smells like the Holocaust down here. I'm like, what?
Jesus Christ.
Why do you know what that? First of all, no, it does. Like, he's like, it's burning hair. It just smells like. It's like, ugh. I'm just like, what? That is a.
You're
terrible.
Like, we're just trying to be pretty, Dad. Like,
I was like, am I as skinny as them, Dad?
Yeah, is that what you want? Get on my knee, babe.
I like the smell of burning hair sometimes. I don't know why. Maybe it reminds me of high school.
I saw this guy. He did a shot, and I did this in Greece where they pour the. What's it called? Ouzo or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Like it's like Greek
liquor. Mm-hmm. And they pour it in your mouth and then they light it on fire in your mm-hmm. mouth and then they throw cinnamon. Mm-hmm. That's a tough word. Cinnamon on top. So it sparks and it's called the volcano.
Oh.
So I'm like, and then you put out the fire by swallowing it.
Right.
That's the shot. In a bar, like where the guy, so there's a TikTok where it went all over the guy's face and he's like, and then he knocks out the fire and then he goes.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like, when you're that drunk, you cannot feel pain. And when you're that embarrassed of lighting your hair on fire, you don't even like, and you have like third degree burns and then you look like what I like. Ever like the burn victim face,
but you're dancing.
Not making fun of a burn victim. I'm just saying that oftentimes they are smiling.
Yeah.
Oh dear, we got to bring in your friend.
Oh, dude, this is going to be weird for me, but also great. My best friend, one of my best friends. Oh wow, there he is, Seth. Seth Glass. Can I say your last name?
Yeah, of course.
Seth Glassman is
here. You can say anything about me.
Really, anything.
Whatever you want.
Nah,
Seth Glassman is our guest. He is Andrew's college roommate. They met in the dorms. Is that where you met?
Well, we met actually when we were about 10 in summer camp at Kutcher Sports Academy. And so we were friends at camp, and then I found out he was going to Tulane, and I had a different roommate who I got rid of to have Seth be my roommate.
Okay. And Seth, where do you live now, and what do you do for a living?
I currently reside in Los Angeles, and I've always been in the restaurant business.
Okay, I've heard of you.
Funny, though, Andrew's original roommate, he claims he looked like me.
Yeah, he goes, I should have been your roommate because we look alike. Like, he kept telling us that we look, so we should have been friends.
Like, you ever have a friend that... You and your old roommate looked like, he looked like you.
Yeah, he looked like Seth.
Oh, he looked like Seth. So he wanted to be roommates with Seth and kick you out.
Maybe, actually. Well, I mean, Seth would have liked that.
I think it was almost like, Andrew, you called me up like almost like you wanted to be my girlfriend. Like, so we knew each other from summer camp, and then he calls me up, you know, we got our roommate assignments, and he calls me up, he goes, Seth, you know, I really want a room with you. And we had to go through this process of switching roommates. And then finally we got together. Little did I know it would not be a good decision on my part.
Yeah, Seth, I wanted to have you on the show because I have obviously heard about Andrew in college and the penis pump incident. Were you a part of that, the penis pump story?
I was. I was an intricate part of it.
Were you the one that found the penis pump?
I was.
While you were looking for a lighter in his
desk? Yeah, why are we even friends anymore? You ratted me out.
Yeah, but time heals all wounds.
And tell us your side of the penis pump story. At what point in college was this? Like, how far into living with Andrew did this happen?
Okay, so first of all, thank you for having me on. Obviously, Andrew, great, great friend.
Don't set it up nice before you ruin me.
No, I know, but I'm also, like, I've become, you know, I listen to the show, and I want to thank Nikki and Noah, I think, listening to them, I've kind of gotten to know them, which is great. So I love the show. Great job, guys.
Awesome. I feel like awesome. I know you too. I'm glad you're here.
Yeah. So, you know, summer camp in New York, if your parents just wanted to get rid of you for 2 months. So they sent you up. So as a New Yorker, they sent us up to upstate New York. Andrew's parents disliked them so much, they sent them all the way from Florida to New York.
When I was seven.
They just disliked being parents.
It felt personal.
Perhaps it was. I'm trying to lessen the blow, but yes.
They sent my little brother, who's five. But anyways, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, and then so now okay, so fast forward. So yeah, freshman year roommates in college, and yeah, I was the one who found the penis pump. So definitely an intricate part of that story.
Were you how soon was it a regret that you were living with a guy who, you know, didn't do his laundry, doesn't really know how to take care of himself? Because Andrew truly like had no clue how to be an independent person when
really bad back then.
That was the first time you lived on your own, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
How soon was it a deep regret of yours that you accepted his proposal of living together?
Day one.
Tell me about like some of his. What could you have not foreseen happening?
Okay,
that was
first
happening?
Of all, day one, you got so fucked up that I tried to open the door to our dorm and I couldn't because I was hitting your head with the door. You were on the floor, passed out in your underwear and a referee shirt.
Yes, yes, and we will get to that story. No, there's no doubt about it. But the thing, Andrew. The difference between me and Nikki rooming with you now 22 years later, you probably have like this big place in St. Louis. There's probably like some separation, like a living room in between your two bedrooms. I was in the same room. The difference between, and he was at that point, listen, he's grown so much. Andrew's
not much.
I loved him back then. I don't regret because there's so many fond memories from that year. But he was so disgusting underneath, and he's talked about it on the show, I believe, but underneath his sheets in the dorm room, there was M&Ms. So there was M&Ms in between the mattress and the sheet.
Oh, it's good for your back. It's
yeah. He really was a little bit lost, but so was I, you know.
Was there a smell issue? Like, were you embarrassed to bring girls back? What was his, like... He told me that he was pretty depressed that year, and I mean, it's actually not funny. Like after the penis pump thing, you really got depressed and like never left. Was it weird living with someone who wouldn't leave their bed and like go to class and was just, you know?
Well,
he said that you almost lit his pile of clothes on fire.
Well, now I feel bad because
he's fine. He's thriving now.
Contributed to that depression after finding the penis pump. I feel really bad.
No, I mean, you definitely did contribute to it, swinging it around, going, "What is this?"
He swung it around. He goes, "What is this?"
Well,
remember,
you guys now you talk about it and you even play this game where you go into each other's room and you try to find something. To me.
Yeah.
We didn't have all these toys and all this stuff going around.
Sure.
I hadn't been privy to that. Andrew was a virgin at the time, but still went and got an STD test. And, you know, I honestly didn't know what it was at first. Yeah, and I started waving it around and stuff like that. But
you
then
called
I realized,
20 yeah, girls. You called 20 girls.
Yeah, we forgot that part where you got a room of people. You filled the room with people like a surprise party for him to come back and walk in and see you swinging it around going, "What is this? What is this?" And Andrew, what did you say?
That's my penis pump.
I think similar to maybe comedians now, and you guys could, but I probably craved attention as well. So
sure. I'll find a penis pump. It's like, I'm sorry, you were definitely going to call someone out on that. You're a freshman.
Yes,
we're all immature.
Of course.
Idiots.
I love that he did it. It's amazing. But
then they all left. They just laughed at you and then left the room and left you in there for 8 months.
And then I tried to make up a story that I bought it as a gag for Seth.
Oh, boy.
And that backfired because there was like lotion in it.
Let me ask you something, guys. If I'm like on this show, does this go on my IMDb?
No.
I don't even have an IMDb. So.
Yeah.
No. Okay. See. Okay. So listen, there's a little known fact. I was on an episode of Hell's Kitchen like 10 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you get yelled at by old Gordo?
No, I was a judge, and I actually had a line on the show. I was like a celebrity judge. They were doing a competition, and back to your original point, I've been in the restaurant business my whole life, so I was operating a steakhouse at the time, and they were doing these burgers. Like, the chefs were doing these burgers, and I had to judge the burgers, and I had a line. And if you go back further, this is not on the IMDb page, but I was in the fourth grade performance of West Side Story, which was
okay. Fourth grade? They were doing West Side Story?
Yeah, well, Andrew and I are 41, So we're
that. I mean, that doesn't make a difference. I just feel like it was. Oh, I guess like back then they just didn't care about.
Well, Seth doing also took an acting class in college, and he thought he was going to be an actor. But you hear his voice. He's from Long Island.
Yeah,
it's very distinct. He talks with his hands. He's like, "Hey, over here, I'm Seth Glassman with gel in my hair." Kind
Who
of.
Who did you play in the fourth grade play rendition of West Side Story?
So I was a shark. I was Pepe. My girlfriend in the show was Consuelo. And, you know, as actors and comedians, you guys all appreciate this. I practiced for like 7 months. I went to these rehearsals, two rehearsals. I had one line. I had one line. It was right before the number, "I Like to Live in America." You know, and it's like,
yeah.
Well, I came to America with my heart open. And I came to America with my arms open. And my girlfriend Consuelo said that line. And so mine, the line was, "You came with your mouth open."
Yes, I know that line. I know that guy.
I nailed it. I nailed it. I had 7 months of practicing, but I nailed that one line.
Well, what happened? Where did your dream get derailed? When did you give up on being an actor? Because I also had dreams of being an actress and realized I must not be good at this because I'm not getting any roles. When did your dream die?
You know what? I don't think the dream ever really existed. I craved the attention, but
okay.
But New Orleans, as far as a professional standpoint, New Orleans really did impact my career because it heightened the interest in the restaurant business. Great city for food and cuisine and culture. Fell in love with it and moved to LA.
You worked for a guy when I got arrested. He was in jail on a DUI.
Yeah. I forgot about that. Cafe Nino's. Yeah. So if you want to go originally, I was a pizza boy. I was a pizza boy. Yeah. Mama Teresa's on Long Island. Tell us.
Okay, as a guy in the restaurant industry, tell us as like patrons of restaurants.
Yeah.
What are some things you guys are talking shit about us about? Like, what's the most annoying thing to get like to hear about back in the kitchen, or like what's something you guys know about us that we might not know about ourselves in terms of being customers?
Well, everyone thinks of us as, you know, people in the hospitality business, and we like you and we want to take care of you. We don't. So just
you don't care about our day. You don't care that we had a great evening and that the food, we enjoyed our meal and we're celebrating this anniversary. You don't care.
But Seth, that's your whole thing. You go up there, you go, "Hey, you want a good table? I got you. I'm going to take care of you." That's not real.
No, secretly I'm lying.
Is there a part of you that feels sad inside that you're living a lie? Like you have to go in and maybe you are getting to act every day. This is your.
No, honestly, it would be exhausting. Let's backtrack. I truly do love what I do. 20 years later.
Why do you love what you do?
It might be that people pleaser in me. You know, I like to show people a good time. I get genuine satisfaction out of people, you know, especially now. You talk about the last 2 years. So people are using, you know, this as an opportunity to get away, right? To have 2-3 hours with their friends and family, enjoy themselves. And to be a part of that and to see their smiles on their faces is actually pretty rewarding. So.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad to hear that. Do you have a family? Do you have a wife? Do you have kids?
Never married, no kids. Very
the restaurant industry is very. I feel like there are a lot of single people. Like it tends to just breed like people that just hang out at late night, at late hours. You guys live kind of just like party lifestyles. I guess it starts out that way. As you age, have you kind of like stopped doing that, or are you still in that lifestyle?
Definitely approaching 8 years sober. So definitely.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. I mean.
What led you there, if you don't mind me asking?
I don't mind at all. I thought you guys could ask me anything. It started affecting my life. You know, like I feel like I couldn't be, it sounds like generic, but like the best person I could be. So once it started preventing me, you know, my production and the way I was.
Can you give me an example of a time where you were just like, oh, like, was it the hangovers? Was it the being drunk itself? The saying things you didn't mean, following up in the morning with texts of like, what did I do? Just being tired. How was it?
I was always a fun drunk. I mean, you could go back to Andrew's first story. I mean, I was 17 years old, you know, 1997. Well, we got down to, we're freshmen in 1998, but I was still 17. So I wasn't even 18. We go down to the French Quarter for the first time, 11 o'clock in the morning. We're walking down the French Quarter, all of us in the doors, and I asked for a shot of tequila and a beer. And the guy lines up three shots of tequilas and three beers at 11. Yeah. I said, what is this? This is 3-for-1 happy hour at 11 o'clock. So
for at a that quarter. Point,
I knew it was going to be an interesting 4 years. And it kind of, you know, that night, yeah, did lead to me on the
passing
floor.
Out in front of the door.
Yeah, on the floor. With,
you got a big head, though. I don't, maybe you were like across the room.
He had a lot of gel in his hair, too. He's fine.
Still.
Like the door.
Still a lot of gel. Depth.
Depth.
Yeah.
Yes.
I combined.
Well, here's the thing. So during the pandemic, people started going for like toilet paper and sanitizer. I had a buddy of mine because I was actually in the Midwest at the time. And I had a buddy of mine from California, and he was worried that I was going to run out of gel. He sent me like two tubs of that depth so I wouldn't run out during the pandemic.
What happens to your hair if it doesn't have that in it? Like, do you...
It's good dry. It's good dry.
Yeah.
It's just
that's what Andrew says every night. Yeah.
I do like it like that.
Masturbates. Wait, so okay, I want to just get back really quickly.
Yes.
You're coming up on 8 years of not of being sober. Andrew's coming up on 3.
Yeah, 3 years, December.
I'm coming up on 10 of just sober from alcohol, but thank you. I'm wondering, like, for people listening, I think that whenever the subject comes up, it's kind of just interesting because either I'm sure people have either stopped listening at this point if they still want to keep drinking and they don't want to hear about people who, because I remember when I still wanted to drink, I didn't want to hear about people being sober or like that lifestyle because you just think it's so impossible. Like your life, I'm guessing, revolved around drinking probably every night. It was who you were. It was part of your personality. What was it like when you first stopped? Like how was it as hard as you thought? Was it,
to your point, I don't think everyone tunes out. I don't preach, right? I don't tell people what to do or what's best for them and stuff like that. So, you know, when asked about it in this perspective, I just tell, you know, my story, right? What was best for me, and how my life improved after I stopped. But yeah, I mean, there was, you know, in the restaurant business, it is conducive, but there's a lot of, you know, jobs that are stressful or late hours and stuff like that. But I don't know if all the jobs necessarily have like a full bar at your disposal, you know.
It's not Mad Men anymore. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so, I guess I'm asking, did you, when you, you know, let's say 9 years ago, could you have ever envisioned your life without alcohol? Was that something that like, could you have pictured your life without alcohol?
No, it wasn't until I realized that, like, yeah, I wanted to do it for me. A few other people had mentioned it to me. Oh, it might be a good idea to stop. But until I physically decided that it would be the best thing. And then, you know, everyone's got their own story. You know, for me, I'm blessed because I really don't think about it all that much. And as someone who's around it daily, literally,
Does it make dating hard? Let's talk about that because I find that it's just so, it's such a social lubricant. You know, people, liquid courage, all these things. Like the idea of having sex with someone for the first time, even making that first move with a girl, all of these things are so, or a guy, it's so much easier when you've had a couple drinks in you. Like drinking on a first date just eases this awkwardness that's in the air of like, are we going to see each other naked later? That, did you find that your dating life changed a lot after you ceased to drink?
Not for me. I would assume that there are some women who are like a little weird about it, right? Oh, should I drink around him? Or I want to drink like a lot or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It could affect... You know,
I'm talking more about your experience, though. Let's like less of.
He's pretty personable.
Really?
Person.
Like,
yeah. Like,
so what was compelling you to drink in the first place then? Because so often I think people drink because they want to get out of the discomfort of socializing or like, you know, for me, it was like, oh, this I really want to have sex, but I'm so scared of it. Oh, this thing makes it very easy for me to be intimate with someone. Like, what was drinking helping you with?
Sure. I'm sure there was underlying issues that I was trying to push down. And trying to hide. But I also liked, again, this goes back to partly, you know, the people pleaser and wanting to be the host, right? I wanted to be the life of the party, right? So it wasn't enough to, you know, if Andrew had six, I'm competitive. If Andrew had six drinks, I wanted to have eight. You know, I just kept, I was always like rallying people.
We were let's do shots.
You know, so it was like, you know, and Andrew was very nice for saying it. I was always a very personable guy to begin with, but I wanted to take it to even another level.
What were the three things you bragged about in college that you never experienced?
Well, this was before we had cameras on our cell phones, so I never really owned the camera.
Okay.
These are the three. This is how he'd introduce himself, pretty much.
No! Like,
I'm Seth. I don't own a camera.
I don't own a camera. I've never had a nosebleed, and I never farted.
What?
Yeah.
And then what did you say when you go, well, what about when you shit? He goes, oh, this sound when the shit hits the water.
Yeah.
Wait, are you just not someone who farts?
Nah, I finally farted. So you have to cross that.
For 8 years, you've been farting.
Now it's been a real problem.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
But has your nose bled yet?
No, nose is not bled.
Okay.
But, and even without the phones, I did have like a little Polaroid at some point.
Okay. All right.
Out of those three, we're actually only down to one. And if someone really wanted to knock it loose, they could probably punch me in the face and I'm sure it would bleed. So then we could cross everything.
And then you probably fart. What's the restaurant you work at so people can punch you in the face and maybe you can promote it on your own?
Okay, well, so here's the thing. Nikki alluded to it in one of the first episodes where she was doing a comedy bit and she was outside Katana and they wouldn't let her.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So
that woman was so, they were so weird to me about standing there.
Nikki, I want you to know, I fixed it.
You did?
I addressed it. I addressed the issue. But I didn't bring up your name or anything like that, but I addressed it.
I've had dinner there, and it was such a good dinner and such a good experience, actually.
So what happened?
I was waiting for David Spade to come pick me up. I was wearing a ridiculous outfit because I was doing a paparazzi shot before
then.
I was wearing that pink outfit.
Okay.
And I didn't want to stand like on the street on Sunset. Like it was still at like light outside. And I was waiting for him to come pick me up. And so I was standing in front of Katana and they go, you can't stand here because you're not like going to dinner here. And I was like, he was supposed to pick me up at the store, but I didn't want to even walk by the store because there were comics there and I was dressed like, like Cowboy Barbie. And so I go, can I just stand here? And the guy kind of didn't say anything. And then the woman came up and she was like sorting menus. And now that it's fixed, I feel bad about this, but I just go, she kind of looked at me and was like, can I help you? And was like very nice, like, hi. Like, and I go, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not eating here. I'm just like waiting for a friend to pick me up. I'm so embarrassed because of the way I'm dressed. And she was like, you can't stand here. And I was just like, please. I go, it's going to be like a minute. And she was like, I'm sorry, you can't. And I was just like, really? And I had to walk into, so there was construction on the sidewalk. There was no sidewalk. So I had to walk into this like fake, like sidewalk they've made on the
people
on the
probably street. Thought you were a hooker. Let's be honest.
They totally did. And then David Spade picked me up, so they 100% do. Yeah. So I get in the car, and I literally just, I pulled down my mask, and I was like, thank you so much to the guy, like the guy that ratted me out. I just gave him a real look, and I felt like very victorious. But thanks for fixing that. And I honestly did have a great meal at Katana.
Oh, that food's so good there.
Yeah, so that company, Innovative Dining Group, Tsuchiroku, Boa, Katana.
Oh, yeah.
I lived in LA for the better part of 20 years, so a lot of it, you know, on the Sunset Strip and upscale nice restaurants and great company to work for.
Well, thanks for fixing that. Let's get to the final thought. I want to know, and I hate this question, but why are you single?
Okay. Do we want to talk at all about the frat house burning down or no? We don't have time.
Don't try to flip it on. We're talking about your fire.
I mean, the frat house burning down is such a tragic story because Andrew got this goddamn cat with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
That you were probably just trying to impress her. So you got this expensive cat that didn't even live
bucks.
A year.
Yeah.
She couldn't keep it in her dorm. So it ended up living with you in your dorm room.
No, fraternity house.
Or in your frat house.
Cat in a frat.
Room.
Yeah.
Which was also where the lyrics for Hit the Bottle. She hits the bottle.
Oh, my God. Did you
found
find
that, right?
Hit the Bottle?
Oh, yeah. I, of course. I read it. But the lyrics burned down. He had to redo it. See, everything burned down.
Wait, so tell me when you found his poetry. Tell me how did you find that? That's better than the penis pump.
No, a lot better than the penis pump. I have a little different spin on the fire, burning. Okay. So literally, it was after finals. It was on May 2000. Okay, right? Yeah, May 1999 or whatever, May 2000. So we finished finals for the year. I was actually going back to New York the next day. I was going to come back to New Orleans for summer school. So we go out to dinner. There's like five or six of us. I believe when the house started burning, only one person was in the house. Andrew, correct me. I think it was Paul. He ran out of the house. Unfortunately, the cat didn't make it. The firemen, when they were
the cat didn't make it. Paul lived. There was a pause.
So okay, the cat.
He held the cat up and he said, "Whose cat is this?" But it was dead, sadly enough.
Oh, so
that was
God.
Yeah, that was the mortality. Sorry about that.
Did he go, "What is this?" As he was swinging it around like
a helicopter, like North Carolina. He threw it away in the garbage. It
was jackpot. I could get into that. And now it's a computer jackpot. You know. Okay. So I go home. Okay, but here's the thing. So the house is burning down. We get back to the house. I'm looking. So we're like three blocks away, and we're like, "Oh, there's a fire! There's a fire!" And then as we're getting closer, we're like, "Whoa, it's the frat house!" And so we spend like the next 2 or 3 hours outside the frat house, basically watching it burn. And I got a flight the next morning to go home. I'm surprised at my mother for Mother's Day. So I don't know whether to get on this flight, what to do. I have no idea. My stuff's burning down, you know. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to surprise her for Mother's Day. I just get on the flight. So I surprised her, and it was a nice Mother's Day gift and stuff like that. But I walked into the house, and this is, again, showing my age. I had a newspaper under my hand. I read the newspaper. And I still had soot on my face from the smoke.
Jesus.
And she hadn't seen me all semester. And she's like, "What happened to you? What happened to you?" I said, "Andrew burned down the frat house."
You look like a chimney sweep from Mary Poppins.
It's like Andy Garcia from that movie where he saves someone, you know?
Anyway.
So wait, so yeah.
No? I don't know.
What is it?
But in any case, my mom goes, "Well, what do you want this?" She was very nice. She's like, "Let's go get some underwear and socks." Because I didn't have anything. I mean, he burned everything.
Yeah, that referee shirt. You're welcome.
Yeah, lost
wait,
the whole...
You found Andrew's poetry, though. Which he had written in his depressive state.
This kind of explains why I lit the house on fire, to get rid of the poetry.
Yeah, to get rid of any evidence that you had emotions. Where did you find this poetry, and what did you think when you found it?
So technically, I guess we were roommates 2 years, because we were roommates in the dorms freshman year, and then sophomore year in the Pike House. We weren't living in the same room, but there was like 10 rooms in the Pike House, and he lived across the hall. Now, our room, people like to hang out in. It was me and our other friend Glenn. It was nice. It was comfortable. His room was, again, disgusting. He still wasn't at his adult stage yet.
It would have been an animal abuse to have that. Like, the cat, like, it did itself a favor by dying in that inferno based
pretty
on
much,
the conditions the
cat
it was living
it
in
out.
His room.
The cat wanted out.
The room was a litter box.
I think in the whole mess of the room, there was like this piece of paper on the floor, and I picked it up and I went back and I started reading it to Glenn. And then he later explained to us that it was about his mother. So,
and it was called She Hits the Bottle, She Goes Full Throttle. Were there any other?
Well, I know you guys are trying to do some songs together. So,
yes.
This should be revisited as you enter.
Add a couple
career.
Minor.
I think it's a great idea to write She Hits the Bottle. We need to do that as a country song.
I think I got a good singer for it, too.
I think it would really help you process some feelings.
Yeah, I'm down.
I would do anything for the charred remains, like burnt like a pirate's map.
That would look so cool, like in a and I'd frame it and everyone would go fucking insane.
All right, well, why are you single? We have 1 minute.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I could sum it up in 1 minute. I mean, I think there's women over the course of my career that it might have worked with, but to me, I mean, what does that mean? So
you just said over the course of my career. That's I think that just answers everything.
Yeah.
Ding 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 ding.
Yeah. That's a bad sign. Oh, maybe I could be on FBoy Island.
I mean, honestly, if we did a halfway island with like older people, which I would love to do, because these dating shows, no one knows what they want in their 20s. These things aren't going to last.
Yeah.
I would love to have someone like you. Because
he'd be amazing.
I only ask because I'm 37 and single as well. And I get asked that a lot. And it's like, I am interested now in people our age who haven't I don't know about your dating history, but aren't married with kids and why we've chosen that, because clearly we've chosen it. Because if we wanted it, you can get it, especially if you're a man.
Yeah. So I think a few things. So first on you're right. It would have been awesome when a few people got eliminated. If Andrew came out, I mean, he would have been the only one with a gray beard.
We tried. Okay. We wanted to have him be a character named Ragu, who just was an older man that showed up. He had these like like neon sunglasses, like blue blockers. He was at these gold chains. And so he would just show up as a joke. Like we would show up on set and we'd be like, Ragu's here. And he's just wearing like basketball shorts with like dirty flip flops.
And like in my head, I was like, maybe they will put me on tonight.
Maybe there was a sneaking suspicion. Yeah,
yeah. The short answer, I always envisioned myself being a young father, but... Yeah, I never really fell in love with someone to the point where I was like, all right, I want to spend the rest of my life with this woman.
Well, good for you knowing that you're not just going to do it to get it done and you're waiting for the right person, because that's hard to do. And we all have dreams of certain things, and maybe you dream of being a young father or an actor, and those things don't end up looking like you think they're going to look. And I always look at David Letterman becoming a father at the age of like 60 or something. Like, I think it's probably something he wished he had done sooner, but it's definitely not something he regrets having done later. You know what I mean? Like, that changed him. The Letterman we have now, that's just like this, his young son, he's like, you know, probably in his 70s at this point, but his son is like 12, 13. I don't know. I think there's something, being an old dad isn't so bad. And I think it's still be in your future.
A grandfather is usually a great, like, father figure. Like, they've let the ego go. They're not working as much. So you might as well have a kid at 70.
Yes.
They're going to see you die in 3 years. Yeah. But it's fine.
Little wiser,
you got a cool beard.
A little wiser. Huh?
You're wiser.
Wiser. And they don't need to be picked up or, like, have you around when they graduate.
Like, I got to throw a ball with my son. It's like, shut up. Like, he has plenty of kids to throw a ball with.
Yeah, it's fine. Seth, it was great having you on the show. You were amazing and just a perfect guest for someone who, you know, might not be broadcasting every day of their life. It's sometimes iffy, but you were great. Yeah, and I thank you so much.
He's really good.
You'll have to come back again. It was really fun. Thank you for being here. We got to go. Thanks for listening to the show. We'll be back here tomorrow.
Do you want to hit the jackpot, Seth?
Yeah, you want to jackpot with us?
Yeah, I'll do jackpot.
All right, don't be cur. And
jackpot.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Looking for some amazing TV to stream? Indulge yourself with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the gang on How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons are now streaming on Hulu. Then you can move to Modern Family, Schitt's Creek, and My Wife and Kids. We are talking every single episode of every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits. Streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. Now we're talking.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network. Work.